Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are the one who sustains us and strengthens us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One day, a man was casually walking along a country lane with his dog and his mule. Suddenly, a speeding pickup truck came around the corner and knocking the man, his mule, and his dog into the ditch. Well, the old man decided to sue the driver and seeking to recoup the cost of the damages. And while the old man was on the stand, the counsel for the defense cross-examined him. And he began by asking a simple question. He said, I want you to answer yes or no to the following question. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were perfectly fine? And the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along. And the counsel said, stop. I asked you to tell me yes or no. Did you say you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? Well, me and my dog and my mule walking down the road, and the defense attorney appealed to the judge, Your Honor, the man is not answering the question. Would you please insist that he answer the question? And the judge said, well, he obviously wants to tell us something. Let him speak. So the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corners far too fast and knocked us into the ditch. The driver stopped, got out of his truck, saw my dog was badly injured, went back to his truck, got his rifle, and shot it. And then he saw that my mule had broken his leg, so he shot it. And then he said, how are you? And I said, I'm perfectly fine. When we truly listen, we fully understand, or I should say more fully understand, what is being said. However, a lot of times we don't listen as well as we should. And I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. And perhaps it's because we think we know better than the person who is talking. But we've got it all figured out. Or perhaps it's because we're trying to think about how to respond to this person while the person is still talking to us. And sometimes, I think we might not listen, but we speak just so that we don't feel dumb. I think there's a number of reasons why people don't listen. And this is where we find Peter, James, and John in our story from Mark today. As I said, this is the Transfiguration story, which is a difficult story to understand if we even have an understanding of it. What really happened on that mountaintop? Now, I don't think the disciples understood this event any better than we do today. And they were there. What do we do with this passage? I think it's interesting that Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about the gospel being veiled to those who are perishing. Those who don't believe. And it would seem that it is veiled to those who don't understand, even the disciples who were there. They don't understand, and we don't understand. And so there's this big confusion, this veil around this story. So what do we do? Reverend Barbara Lundblad, preaching professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, tells us one thing we should not do with this passage. A transfiguration story from Mark 9 is a story we often try to explain. What happened on that mountain when Jesus went to pray with Peter, James, and John? Why did Jesus' clothing become dazzling white? How could Moses and Elijah be there when they'd lived so long ago? Was this a dream? How could all three disciples have the same dream? In other words, she's saying, can't figure it out. You can't explain it. So don't try. While the event, however it happened, had meaning for Jesus, and I think maybe there's a little bit of what I talked to Cheyenne about, the focus for us are Peter, James, and John, more specifically Peter. Peter said, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, but they were terrified. Reverend Mary Ann McKibben Dana, a preacher, writer, and speaker, puts it another, or reminds us of what happens whenever we are faced with something that we cannot understand. She writes, when a system doesn't know what to do, it does what it knows. That's what Peter did on the Mountain of Transfiguration. He offered to build a tabernacle as his ancestors had in the wilderness years before. When we don't have anything to fall on or any understanding to comprehend, we tend to fall back on what we've done before, others have done before, who have gone before us. And a lot of times it's build a shrine. Think about it. Whenever somebody dies in a traffic accident today, it seems like a shrine is put at that spot. You can see them all along the highway. Little crosses with pictures and other things. They're left behind by people who are having a difficulty with understanding what happened, why it happened. And they don't know what to do or what to say, so they build a shrine. So that they and no one will forget what happened there, and believing maybe also that it will help them and give them time to get over it, to figure it out, to understand why. Because what do we always say when something like that happens? Why, Lord, why? Often, we remember to try to understand. Peter was speaking because he didn't know what else to do with what was happening. So he remembered what had happened of old. I'm reminded of a story that I once heard concerning President Franklin Roosevelt. He was preparing a speech, and he needed some economic statistics to back up the point that he was trying to make. His advisor said it would take 6 months to get accurate figures. In that case, I'll just use these rough estimates, FDR said. And he wrote down some numbers in his text. They're reasonable figures, and they support my point. Besides, he added as an afterthought, it will keep my critics busy for at least 6 months trying to prove me wrong. They support my point. Often when we go back or when we build shrines or we do things like that, we're trying to understand, but we're trying to understand in a way that makes sense for us or supports us. And the truth is, we don't know what to say, and we make something up that fits with what we believe. Tim Good has a blog with a very interesting name. I don't know how he came by it. It's a blog on commentaries for scripture passages, and the blog's entitled Naked Alien. Maybe he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know, but he has an interesting take on this story. Jesus climbed the mountain for fresh air and peace, to concentrate and talk to God. He shared the trek with three friends. As they climbed, the three believed they were seeing into heaven. And there was Moses, God listener, lawgiver. There was also Elijah, God speaker, law interpreter. And with them, Jesus, God follower, law teacher, or so they thought. They were so proud that their very own rabbi was elevated to the level of Moses and Elijah. They had to say something, to do something to mark this special moment. So the three below spoke to the three above. Let us build something. Let us build three buildings. Let us build three royal palaces. Let us build three places of worship. Let us build three boxes. Let us build. Let us. Let us. Let us make. Let us make you into something. Let us make you into three special people. Let us make you into three high kings to rule us. Let us make you into three sacred icons. Let us make you into three wise men. Let us make. Let us. Then they were overshadowed. They heard a voice from within the cloud. You do not understand what you see. This is my dearest son. Listen to him. They saw Moses and his tablet. Moses and the law was gone. They saw Elijah and his scroll. Elijah and the Holy Scriptures was gone. They saw Jesus was alone. They followed him, and he spoke not of it until the time was right. There are times when we just need to not talk, and we need to listen. But that's hard for human beings. When we pray, when we are faced with words and events that are just too big to understand, too overwhelming, we need to just stop. We need to listen. Listen to God in the Scriptures by reading the Scriptures. Listen to God in the still, small voice of silence, sitting there quietly. When we don't listen, the problem is oftentimes it becomes almost like we're trying to advise God. God, this happened and I don't understand, but I need you to do this. We fall back on what we know or what we think we know. How is that not like Peter's saying, let's build three dwellings? And God cut Peter off and he said, stop. This is my son. Listen to him. And that becomes our cue that we need to listen to Christ. Especially when we don't understand something. It's not easy. We all want to understand. Our minds constantly strive to understand. And when we don't understand, we feel very vulnerable. We feel like, oh, maybe we're missing something important. Maybe we are missing something important, but we're not going to understand what that something important is if we just keep talking or building dwellings and shrines. It's not easy to be vulnerable. But that's where we are called to be. Until the answer comes to us. And it will, if we listen. May God help us to live with the uncertainties of life. And believe me, there are plenty. That we might truly listen for the rustlings of the Spirit. The rustlings that give us wisdom. It might be in silence. It might be in the words of someone else. It might be in the words of the Scriptures. But they're there. But we've got to hear it. May it be so for you. And may it be so for me. Amen.